Continuing on in our lesson on look to Jesus and live. This is the theme for this year. And last week we started looking at the example in scripture that kind of is the base for this theme. This is when Moses and the children of Israel were journeying. And while they were journeying, according to the scripture, on the inside of your bulletin on the left side, it says that they became discouraged because of the way. The people became discouraged because of the way. Things got difficult. They didn't expect the journey to be the way that it was. And that brought the way they responded to this unexpected journey, this unexpected condition, according to the scripture, is that the scripture says they got discouraged. And they didn't deal with discouragement the right way. That's the major problem. Lord, it doesn't say that you and I won't experience discouragement, because that just goes along with living. When stuff don't go the way you expect it to go, that stuff can discourage you. When you get information that you weren't anticipating getting. Sister Fisher, I think, talked about that this morning. She didn't anticipate that. And as she said to you, well, she was being honest. That stuff started, you know, worrying her mind. And it's the truth. That stuff, information like that will get to you, start making you feel some kind of way. But you got to know how to deal with discouragement. They didn't deal with discouragement the right way, because as a result of the discouragement, they started murmuring to Jesus and complaining and speaking against him. As I said, we have to understand that Jesus is God. He does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants to. We have to be just submissive to his divine will. Certainly, we don't never like to go through any of the hard things we go through. If we could, we would stay well all of our lives. We would avoid all of the pain, all of the letdown and disappointment. That's if we were in control, but we're not. We're not in control. There's only one that controls all, and that's Jesus. And the scripture says, by him we do what? Live, move, and have our being. And we need to condition our mind, condition our thoughts, just to be submissive to whatever he allows to come into our lives. And just ask him for mercy. That's really all you can do, is just ask Jesus to be merciful. When this stuff comes your way, all you can do is just ask the Lord Jesus, be merciful, Jesus. Be merciful. Give me the strength. Help me to focus on you more so that I can get through this, so that I don't lose my mind. That's the truth. You don't want to lose your mind while you're going through. But you can see why some people do that. Sometimes stuff come at you so hard and so aggressively, you can see why people actually lose their mind. Why they jump off of buildings and all other kind of crazy stuff. Because they want to bring an end to it. But no, you need to ask the Lord to carry you through it. Carry you through it so that when you get through this thing, you can say, Jesus did this for me. Jesus gave me the victory. And you can celebrate. Remember, if you don't go through anything, you have nothing to be happy about. You have nothing to celebrate about. But when the Lord brings you through it, that's a time for celebration. That's a time for rejoicing. That's a time to say, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I praise you for how you carried me through, because this is where I was at. But I thank the Lord for you bringing me through it. And the only ones that, you know, that miss that opportunity are when you think like this. When you think to speak against Jesus as though you speaking against him is going to change things. Really, all it do is make stuff worse. You think it's bad, but go ahead and start speaking against the Lord and see how worse it gets for you. And this is what we learn really from this instance. If you look in verse number 6, as a result of this, many people died. They didn't have to die, but many people died as a result of speaking against Jesus and against the Lord's preacher or the Lord's leader. And in verse number 7, that's what we're going to pick up this morning and try to get through the rest of this particular story. It says, and the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. They realized that this judgment wasn't coming on them just because they spoke against Jesus, because they also spoke against who? Moses. All right? And the rest of it says, and pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And this is where we have to understand. I want you to look at verse number 7 in light of you losing your privilege of prayer. See in verse number 7, see how they realized that the thing that they had done caused them to lose the access. Notice they didn't even feel worthy to do what? Pray. You don't ever want to get like that as a person. You don't ever want to get like so bad off that you don't feel that you have access to Jesus. And that's how bad off they were. They didn't even see that they had an opportunity to cry out to the Lord anymore. They lost that. They lost that access. And they had to depend on who? Moses, right? They had to depend on Moses to get to pray and to petition the Lord for mercy. And we don't ever want to get like that. That's a bad state to be in. When you can't even get a prayer through, that's a bad position to be in. When your back is up against the wall and you can't even go to the Lord for yourself and ask the Lord to do what? Help you. That's the truth. Why do you think people ask you for prayer? You ever had people come to you and say, when you go to church, can you pray for me? Can you ask your church or the members or your pastor to pray for me? Why do you think they say that? Because they're in such a situation that they don't think that they have access. They don't think that they can get a prayer through. They're not living in a position to say they know that they're not living in such a way that they can go before the Lord and ask the Lord Jesus, do it for me. And as saints, we don't ever want to lose that privilege to be able to go before Jesus and ask him to do it for us. Look at your privilege. Go over to John chapter number 14. John 14, and started around about, let me get over here, see, I didn't intend to go there. Fourteen, thirteen through fifteen. It says, this is a privilege of prayer. It says, and whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. In other words, so that you won't see any difference just because I'm occupying an office of creator. You won't see any difference between me being the creator and the redeemer. Jesus is the same one that made the world, and he's the same one that's bringing the world back to him. He's the creator and the redeemer. Verse number 14, he says, and if ye shall ask anything in my name. See, he keeps emphasizing the importance or the value of the name. How do we have access to Jesus? We have access through or by his name. That's why when we pray, we invoke the name of Jesus. We call on the name of Jesus because that's our access. That's why I tell you all, when we're down there in prayer, don't let the enemy cause you to lose the privilege. Cause you to lose your access. So what happened with Israel? Israel lost their access because of their what? Their sin. They said, we have sinned against Jesus and against you, Moses. Please go and pray to the Lord for us. Right? In other words, they lost access. They lost access because of what? Because of sin. And you say, Elder Scudder, how could they have fixed that? All they had to do is repent. The devil doesn't want you to do that. The devil doesn't want you to change your mind. Doesn't want you to change from going the wrong way to the right way. He want to make you feel like you're so bad off that you're beyond saving. You're not salvageable. He wants you to think you're nothing but junk, that you belong in a junkyard somewhere. He doesn't want you to see your potential. He don't want you to see that you can be more than where you are right now. Come on, that's truth. You look at 1 John chapter number 3 and verse number 1. 1 John 3 and 1. He doesn't want you to understand how much Jesus loves you. First John chapter 3 and 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. The devil doesn't want you to see that. He doesn't want you to see how much Jesus loves you. Look at what he did to Israel. He didn't want Israel to realize the love of Jesus. Remember, it was his love that brought them out of bondage. But because they chose sin rather than the love of Jesus, they lost the what? The access. They lost the mind. They lost the privilege. They lost the attitude that they needed. They replaced Jesus with sin. And as a result of that, they felt within themselves that they couldn't even pray anymore. That's a bad state to be in. Especially when the Lord he's desiring for you to pray. If the Lord didn't love you, he would have kept you in your mess. Right? It was love that brought you out. And he's telling you, I love you so much. No matter how horrible, you know, your life has gotten, the bad decisions that you have made, he still says, I set my love on you. Beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon who? Us. That we should be called the what? The children of God. That's who you belong to. You are the sanctified. You belong to Jesus now. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. The blood of Jesus is on your life. When you go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ, you're giving up you. You're saying, I no longer want to live to please myself, but I want to live for the one that loved me and washed me from my sins. Washed me from my sins in his what? His own blood. That's truth. That's what you're saying. That's what you're doing when you go down in that water in the name of Jesus. You're saying, I no longer want to live a sin filled life, but I want the Lord to remove sin so that I can live a life that's pleasing and acceptable to him. When I make mistakes, I'm not going to try to cover up my mistakes. I'm not going to try to act like it's not that bad. I'm going to bring it right before the Lord and let him know, Jesus, as David said, against thee and thee only have I sinned. Against thee and thee only have I done this wrong. This thing that is not pleasing in your sight. And I need you, Jesus, to clean me up. Take that thing away from me. Don't take away my access, but take away the thing that is causing me to feel separated from you. That's true. Look what was causing the children of Israel to feel separated from Jesus. Sin. That's a confirmation for Isaiah 59 and 1. But the Lord's hand is not short that he cannot save you. His ear is not heavy that he does not hear you. But your iniquity, your sin and your iniquity have caused a wedge, has caused a blockage between you and Jesus. And when you get sick and tired of that blockage, you'll ask the Lord Jesus to remove the thing away from you. You won't try to hide it. You won't try to make it seem like it's not that important or is not that big. This thing is messing you up. And your life is not going to get any better until you deal with it. Remember, these people, what happened as a result of them not dealing with it? They died. Them serpents brought them death. Right? They couldn't even pray themselves out of it. That's a bad thing. You get yourself in a situation so you can't even pray yourself out of it. They couldn't even pray themselves out of this. Only one they could do is go to the Lord's preacher and say, can you pray for me? Right? They lost that access. They lost that privilege. And you think about it right now. What has the Lord blessed you and I to have? He blessed us with his name. And he said, anything you want out of heaven, he said, you got to do what? Ask in my name. Right? Ask in my name. Right? You got to do that. You love me, you'll keep that commandment. Ask in his name. Don't even let the enemy, don't let the world, don't even let your mind mess your thinking up when it comes down to prayer. Just humble yourself and do what Jesus tells you to do. He tell you to ask in his name, open up your mouth and call on his name. Well, I called him for an hour. Call him some more. Why? Because what you want, the world cannot give it to you. You're not going to be able to get it out of the earth. This is coming directly from God himself. And if you want something from Jesus, you've got to ask it how? In his name, right? You've got to ask it in his name, whatever the situation is. You need to humble your mind and ask in his name, right? That's the truth, saints. Don't live beneath that privilege. Don't you live beneath that privilege. Know who you are and what the Lord expects from you. Say, I brought you out. I set my love on you. And I've given you a mind. I've given you an understanding that I have a name and that you need to use that name. If you want anything from me, you need to use that name to get it, right? That's the truth. I mean, open up your mouth and call on them. Say, how bad do you want it? How serious is this thing? You think about, go back over to your text scripture there. How serious was this? These people were dying. Don't you see how serious salvation is? When you look around the land, what do you see? I see death. I see death all around us. And I see people that do not have a mind to look up to Jesus and live. I see that they know Jesus. They read about Jesus. They hear him. But they ain't got no mind to look up and live. Ask the average person, do you know Jesus? Yeah, I know about Jesus. I know about church. I don't believe in that stuff. Or I pray at home. Or I read my Bible. But that's not what he told you to do, to live. He told Nicodemus, except or unless a man is born again, he cannot see nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. He has to be born of both what? Water and spirit. Meaning you got to go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's why you go down in the water in the name of Jesus. For the remission of sin. And the scripture says you have to tarry or wait until you are endued with power from on high. What should I be doing while I'm waiting? You should be calling on Jesus. Where do you want the Holy Ghost? Who wants the Holy Ghost? You say, I want the Holy Ghost. Anything you want out of heaven, according to John, it says you have to ask in his name, right? Scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You need to be delivered from stuff. All that stuff that you pick up during the day, you need to be delivered from that stuff. Stuff that's not like Jesus. Attitudes that's not like Jesus. Behaviors that are not like Jesus. You need to be delivered from that. And the only way you can be delivered is you need to call on his name. That's right. You're not just going to sleep your way out of it. That's true. You're not going to sleep your way out of it. That stuff is still going to be right up in your face after you take your beauty nap. Huh? After you wake up from your beauty rest, you still gonna have to deal with who? You. Huh? Come on, that's truth. And you are your worst enemy. You are the thing that is keeping you from Jesus. It's yourself. Self is what causes you to miss the blessings of Jesus. Self is what causes you to pay attention to other stuff, but when it comes time for Jesus, you have no energy. You have no strength. Huh? And you ask yourself, what is this? What is this that is trying to keep me away from being saved? Huh? Come on. We read it on last week. It's the God of this world. Huh? If the gospel is here, it is here to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world have done what? Blinded the minds. Huh? See what that devil is trying to attack? He's trying to attack your mind. He doesn't want your mind to think on Jesus. He doesn't want your mind to call Jesus. He wants you to try to approach Jesus with a surface service. You say on the surface. Huh? That's the truth. He doesn't want you to really deal with what's really inside of you. He wants you to think that the Lord is only looking at the surface of who you are. But Jesus sees everything. He sees everything. He goes all the way down and he looks at your heart. Huh? Come on over to Hebrews. Let's go there really quick. Hebrews chapter number 4. Didn't tend to go there. Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number, start at verse number 9. It says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. That's what the devil don't want you to get. He don't want us to get to that point where we get to be able to rest in Jesus. Where is the rest? The rest ain't down here. No, it ain't. You got to work down here. But what is the rest? The rest, I believe the rest is being able to go back in the rapture. Right? When I won't have to worry about death, pain, sickness, Satan, demons, sin no more. That looks like the kind of rest that the Lord has promised to us. And he said, there remaineth therefore a rest to who? Not the sinners, but to those that belong to Jesus. Though there remains a rest for them. What is that rest? For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Huh? Do you all remember in the creation, when the Lord had made everything, he said, behold, everything is good, very good. And on the Sabbath day, he rested. Or on the seventh or the Sabbath day, he rested. Why? Because everything was finished. There was no sin in the earth. Huh? But what woke him up when Adam and Eve ate that fruit? He said, do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day that you eat thereof, thou shalt do what? Adam and Eve ate that fruit. They tried to sew fig leaves together to cover up their nakedness. And the scripture says God woke up from his rest. He began to call out to Adam and Eve. After he got up, he started calling out to them. And Adam and Eve tried to hide from Jesus. That's like you and I. That's like I'm telling you. This is why I say you got to ask the Lord to help you to deny yourself. Flesh thinks it can get away with stuff. You can't get away with nothing from Jesus. He knows everything. And you're only cheating and robbing yourself. Cheating and robbing myself from what? The privilege, the blessing of being able to one day stop working and do what? Rest. To cease from your labor. Hell ain't no ceasing from no labor, because all that's in hell is people crying out. That rich man said, my soul is in torment. So hell can't be the rest. Huh? Come on, that's the truth. Hell cannot be the rest. And if you die in your sin, you are going to go to hell. Huh? According to the scripture, your name ain't found in that Lamb's Book of Life. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's why you don't want to go that route. You don't want to be in that category. I want my name to be found in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when your name is in that Lamb's Book of Life, the scripture says there remains a rest for you. Huh? Come on, there remains a rest for you. There remains an opportunity for you to cease from your labor. Go to verse number 11. Said it's there. Therefore, said, let us labor. Therefore, to do what? That's why you can't let the devil make you a lazy saint. You ain't got time to be lazy because you haven't made it in yet. You say, Elder Scott, I'm in church. I made it here. This is not it. This is not it. You still got more work to do. Only time you can say it's over is when you stop breathing. But as long as you're breathing, as long as you got the activities of your limbs, you need to work to please Jesus. What kind of work do I need to do? You need to praise him. Scripture told you, let everything that has breath praise him. Huh? Is your life praising Jesus? What are you doing with your breath? Are you murmuring and complaining? Are you fussing? Huh? Are you getting into arguments? No, you need to praise Jesus. You need to praise him and you need to thank him. Thank him for what? All the many different things he do for you. He wakes you up. He gives you the activities of your limbs. He touches your body from time to time when you're sick. He provides you with food. He provides you with shelter, clothes on your back. That's enough to praise him. Huh? There's a whole lot of long lists of reasons you need to praise Jesus. And the Lord said, don't you get caught up in the stuff as a reason to praise me. I want you to understand that I expect you to praise me if you are breathing. Let everything that has breath do what? Now, think about how many people you think are at home right now not using what Jesus gave them to praise him. They're breathing, sleeping. They're breathing, eating. They're breathing, watching television. They're breathing, gossiping on the phone. They're breathing, searching the internet. But they ain't got no mind to do what? Praise him, right? And you think you're going to go back with Jesus with an attitude like that? You're only fooling yourself. Look like to me the God of this world is blinding your mind. And he's blinding it all because you got stuck in unbelief. Huh? But if you're not in that category, you say, no, I understand. I can clearly see that I owe Jesus something. That's when verse number 11 is talking to you and I. When it's telling us, let us therefore do what? Let us labor. Therefore to do what? Enter that rest. That means I ain't got no time to slow up. I don't have no time to take no breaks. I gotta keep on fasting. I gotta keep on praying. I gotta keep on running for my life. Huh? Even when ain't nobody around me want to do it, I gotta do it. Huh? Whatever you can find for your hands to do, you need to go on and do it. Why? Because you're doing it that Jesus might get the glory out of your life. Huh? That's true. That's true. I'm trying to tell you. You gotta think about this thing. You gotta take this thing real serious. Lord put you and I in his vineyard. And he wants to see, what are you going to do in the vineyard? Are you going to be one of those workers that sit by the side and just watch other people working? Huh? Are you going to be one that put your hand in the dirt? Oh, we put your hand in the dirt to do what? Paul said, one man plants, another man waters. But we be sitting around, we're praying for the Lord to bring forth the increase. In other words, we're finding something for our hands to do. We're keeping ourselves busy, engaged in Jesus' work. Huh? Not the work of the flesh. Come on. Some of you give more work to your flesh than you do for Jesus. If you go back over and evaluate your life, see how much you've done to the glory of Jesus this week. How much have you contributed to the Lord's work? And compare that to what you did for your flesh. Huh? Compare that to how hard you worked on your job. Huh? Come on. You do the comparison. Stand up on the scale. Be bold. Huh? And look at what you did for yourself and compare it to what you did for Jesus. What did I do to please Jesus? What did I do with my hands to give the Lord the glory? Huh? Come on, saints. That word in verse number 11 is talking to each and every one of us and is telling us to let us labor. Therefore, to do what? To enter into the rest. You're just not going to get it because of who you are. You've got to work for it, right? That's the truth. You've got to work for it. You've got to fight hard for this. It's not going to fall out of the sky to you. You got to. Those that go back with Jesus, they go back with him because they fought for it. They fought for it. They desired it, and they didn't let nothing stop them. They labored with everything inside of them. Huh? And if that was true about them, what's that going to be said about you? Think about Stephen. When Stephen was getting stoned to death, was Stephen sitting on the side of the road while the rocks was coming? No. He was talking about Jesus. Oh, you say, well, why did they throw the rocks? Because he was talking about them. He was telling them something that they did not want to hear. Huh? And could he have closed his mouth and went on back home? Yeah. But he stood there and kept on telling them about Jesus, about how they had to get out of their sin, how they had crucified Jesus, how they had rejected the salvation that had come to them. And the scripture said that they stopped up their ears, started gnashing with their teeth because he would not stop talking about Jesus. But that brother did that to the death. All while they were throwing the rocks, he still kept on calling on Jesus. Scripture said that while they were throwing the rocks, he looked steadfastly up towards heaven. Huh? Heaven's being open. And he saw Jesus with all authority. He was calling on Jesus. Huh? See how the devil tried to silence you? He doesn't want you to realize the key to you getting into the rest is through the name. You need to keep calling on Jesus until the Lord takes the breath from you, right? That's the truth. You need to keep on calling on Jesus until the Lord takes the breath out of you. I know it. I know we're living in a very dangerous time. We're living in a very dangerous society. This world has got more to occupy your mind than a little bit. Huh? And you think about the stuff that can occupy your brain. You don't even have to move out of your seat. You can sit there and watch that phone all day long. Swiping and swiping and looking to the point where the battery go dead and you plug it up and still be looking at it. And you think about what that's doing to your brain. How much did you even let your mouth utter Jesus? Huh? And you don't even realize the enemy is trying to blind this truth from you. He's trying to keep truth from you. He wants you to be lost. And you're giving him all of your energy to set you up for failure, right? That's the truth. You're giving him all of your energy. It's as though you're telling him, take me. Take me, Satan. I'm yours. Huh? Instead of you crying out to the Lord, asking the Lord Jesus, take this thing away from me. You're looking for more and more reasons to stay plugged in. Huh? To stay connected. Huh? To the thing that will bring you death. Huh? Come on. That stuff is not keeping your mind on Jesus. Huh? There's no way in the world you can be at perfect peace and you ain't keeping your mind on Jesus. Huh? Lord says he'll keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind on him, right? That devil is trying to steal what the Lord has brought to you. He's brought you a privilege to be at peace with him, right? That's the truth. The devil don't want you to be at peace with Jesus. He wants you to find more excitement and more joy in doing devilish things. Huh? That's the truth. Some of you, I look at you. I see you. So you're half keeping your eyes open. Half keeping your eyes open. You're more sleepy in here, and I'm giving you the truth. Well, you wait till you get out of here and see what you go do. You get on that phone and start talking to everybody. You got more energy. And you don't think the devil is setting you up for death? Huh? You think you're going back with Jesus living like that? You're a fool. You're fooling yourself. You don't even realize you got one foot in hell. Huh? You got one foot there. Don't think when you stop breathing, Elder Scudder, you know the life I live. No, I don't know nothing about you. You ought to know yourself. You know the life that you're living. Huh? It's time for you to be honest with yourself. You know you're really not giving the Lord your all. You're giving more energy to sin than you are to Jesus. And yet you expect to go back with Jesus when he comes. You're lying to yourself. You let a lying spirit fill you. Because you know you're not doing anything. You're not worthy of the pay that go along with working for Jesus. When the Lord has set you in the field, what are you doing in the field? Huh? What are you doing in the field? It's work to be done. What are you doing in the field? Huh? That's true. Elder Scudder, you don't know what you're talking about. Go right on. I guess I don't know what I'm talking about. You're going to prove Jesus wrong, aren't you? Huh? You're going to prove the Lord wrong. He said it in his word. I didn't write this. He said, let us labor. Labor is work. Huh? Labor therefore to enter into the what? Your job ain't going to get you into this rest. Your job only take care of your pockets. That don't take care of your soul. What are you working to get your soul in a position to go back with Jesus? Huh? Think about it. Some of you don't even fast. You don't even pray. You ain't got no prayer life. Only time you pray is when you come in here and call Jesus. How much calling Jesus do you do at home? How much opening up your book do you do at home? Huh? And when you open up your book, are you really paying attention to what you're reading? You're doing more sleeping while you're reading than learning about Jesus. Huh? Oh, I'm trying to tell you. You better wake up out of sleep. I'm warning you. I'm warning you. You're not going to get what you're looking for. You're not going to get what you're looking for. You're only fooling yourself. Let us therefore labor to do what? Enter into this bed rest. Lest any man fall. Huh? Did y'all see what the scripture says? Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Why did the serpents bite them? Because of their unbelief. They did not believe Jesus is God. They did not believe Moses was sent by Jesus. Huh? Y'all realize that? You say of yourself, why is there a discussion in my life? Because Jesus sent me here. Jesus sent me to you. Huh? He sent me to you to give you the word of life. Huh? You got to take this word and do it. Huh? You can't take it and be playing around with it. You got to do it. You got to be a doer of the word, right? That's if you want to be blessed by Jesus. You got to find yourself doing it. I say, what can I do? What can I do to show Jesus I'm working for him? Huh? What can I do to show the Lord that I am invested? Huh? That I'm in this. I'm in this 100%. I ain't playing no games. I'm in this 100%. I'm occupying till Jesus comes for me, right? That's the truth, saints. I'm occupying till the Lord comes for me. World asks you, why are you doing what you're doing? Because I'm occupying. I'm trying to keep myself busy doing the work of the Lord, right? Huh? World is doing work, everything else. But what are you doing to go back with Jesus? You've got to labor for it, right? If you do not labor, you will fall. Huh? Come on, do y'all see that? One side is working, the other side is failing. Now you got to decide what side you're going to be on, right? Verse number 12 says the word of God is quick. Everybody understand that? Meaning that the word of God is life. Huh? Come on, you got to let the word, every dead area of your life, every dead area of your faith, you need to let the word of God get in there. Get in there and shock it. Bring it back to life. What them folk do when you in the hospital and you start flatlining? They got enough sense to know you need to get shocked. Huh? They put a whole lot of electricity into your body to kind of wake you up out of that slumbering state, right? You need to let the word of God shock you. You need to let the word of God bring you out of that slumbering state to bring your mind back focused. Huh? Focused on what? Not carnal stuff. To be carnally minded is death. Help me to keep my mind on something spiritual, right? To be spiritually minded is life and peace, right? Help me to keep my mind on Jesus. Huh? That's right. That's what you were talking about. Since when you were talking about that stuff, that's all that was the devil trying to get your mind focused on carnal stuff. Huh? Look at who you are. You are the righteous. Huh? You are the righteous. You are the one that have been called out, have been separated. Huh? Come on, saints, that's who you are. The enemy will try to make you think on carnal things to get you to forget who you are. The Lord has set his love on you, right? Set his love on you. The minute the enemy come at you, that's when you need to get real quick in the right mode. Let me look to Jesus. Huh? Jesus, give me the strength to get through this thing. Jesus, help me, huh? Not to focus on what is going on in my body, but help me to focus on my soul. Why? Because forget about the body. The body going back to the dirt. But I want my soul to live, right? Huh? Why are you here for my soul to live, right? I ain't here for my body to live. I'm here for my soul to live. Focus that though. You worry about your body. Them folk got enough instruments to poke you and pry you all day long. Huh? Have you looking like a robot after they threw with you? And you'll still stop breathing when the Lord called you, right? He said, when I call you, going to answer, right? Robot or not, you're getting out of here, right? That's the truth. The devil make you think you can live forever. You freeze yourself and all this other kind of foolishness. Lord said, when I call, you're going to answer. The breath comes back to me. I'm the one that gave you the breath. It comes back to me. The body goes back to the dust from whence it was formed. But what's left? The real you. My soul, right? Huh? My soul is what's left. And I come into this world, my soul is dead. And Jesus said, I'm come that you might have what? Life. In other words, he come to bring my soul what? Life. That's truth. That word of God is quick. And it's not just life, but it's also power. Y'all believe that? Huh? When that devil is attacking you, that's what the devil don't want you to resort or to fall back on. That's why I tell you all the importance of you all learning them scriptures, because that's the word of God. You're getting his word embedded in the soil of your mind. And it's not there for you just to say, when somebody say, what is Acts 2:38? Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's not why the Lord's word is there. Lord's word ain't for you to bring it up like that. His word is there to be power. In other words, when you go through something, the Lord will bring a word that will surface up into your mind. And that word will give your brain the strength to go through what you're going through, right? But if you ain't got no word, you have no power, right? You're going to act like the world act, right? You're going to act and behave just like the sinners behave when stuff come their way. They're going to start murmuring and complaining. Huh? That's the truth. You're going to walk down the neighborhood and be all, so everybody's just so evil and I don't know what we're going to do. You have Jesus. You're supposed to be the light. Huh? Didn't the Lord say, I put the light in a dark place? Don't nobody put no candle in up under no table. That's not where you put the candle at. You put the candle on top of the table. For to do what? To light up the whole room. Huh? That's why you say, neighbor, my neighborhood is horrible. They was like, well, go get outside. Get outside and let your light shine. I ain't telling you to go outside and be no busybody. But get out there and let the folks see Jesus in your life. See Jesus working inside of you. Huh? Lad, that's the truth. Stay out. Stop meddling in other folks' business. Love your neighbor. Love them people that are around you. Huh? Do for them. Help them. Huh? Help them out best way you can. Give them, share a little bit of Jesus with them. When you go by, say, how are you doing? How you make it out? Oh, I'm doing good. It's a blessed day. Yes, Jesus has blessed the day. Look how beautiful Jesus has made the earth. Do you see Jesus brought up these beautiful flowers? Huh? You got to show the world, Jesus. Huh? You're living in a dark world. And you are the light. That's what Jesus said. You are the light of this world, right? Not only the light, you also the salt of the earth. Huh? No good in you just being inside the salt container. You need to sprinkle that salt. In other words, let your words be seasoned with salt. Say something to the people. Just don't walk by folk and not open up your mouth. Say something to them. Good morning, huh? How are you doing? Well, they say hello to them, right? Sprinkle that salt. Apply that salt where you are. In other words, let Jesus be in your hello. Let Jesus be in your good morning. Let Jesus be in how you doing this morning, huh? Jesus can get all in them words and make that person feel real good, huh? Something about you, I just like talking to you. I like seeing you. You make me feel good when I see you. That's salt. Huh? That means you done had a good positive effect on their life. Huh? And that's what the Lord saved you for, that purpose. To have a positive effect on these people's lives. It's enough negative stuff going on, saints. Somebody's got to be positive in these people's lives, right? And I mean positive the right way. I ain't saying talking about no positive, talking about sports and all the other kind of foolishness, because that ain't going to help their soul. I'm talking about positive in such a way that's going to help their soul. Huh? Help them realize that there are some good people in the earth. Some genuinely good people. People that ain't out there trying to take advantage of you. You know, the politicians only telling you what you want to hear and take advantage of you. Because they want your vote. Them Dr. Owls and all them other folk, once you get finished voting for them, you ain't going to hear nor see from them. They're going to be gone and they're not coming back until it's time for you to vote again. Right? Huh? That's the truth. Y'all understand that? They got mad at the mayor when the mayor told them the truth. He said, I'll be glad when I get out this office because I don't have to deal with this death no more. And you saw the other lying politicians ran up and said, he shouldn't have said nothing like that. You thinking it, you're just not bold enough to say it. You just don't want to lose your job because you ain't ready to get out that job yet. But the truth be said, you're sick of people killing each other too. Huh? And you need to admit that you don't have no solution. Huh? You don't know how to stop the gun violence. I know how to stop it. They need to be saved. Yeah, I know how to stop the gun violence. I know how to stop the gun violence, the drugs, and all the other stuff that's out there. You need to get on your knees and call on the name of Jesus. I guarantee if you call Jesus like you're supposed to, you won't have time to pick up no gun. You won't have time to pick up no liquor. You won't have time to shoot up no drugs into your wrist and into your arm. Not when you got your mind on Jesus. You got time to do that stuff. That means your mind ain't on the Lord. Huh? You say, well, I got a problem with having sex. Well, call Jesus. I got a solution for you. Get on your knees. Instead of getting on your knees to have sex, get on your knees and call Jesus. Call Jesus. Open up your mouth and call Jesus. What am I supposed to do after I finish calling him? Keep calling him some more. Keep calling him until he takes that sex demon from out of your mind. Right? Did you have sex today? No, I didn't have sex. Well, what were you doing all day? I was doing what you was doing, telling me to call Jesus. There go your key right there. So the next day you keep on calling them. Obviously the name is keeping the sex out of you, right? Huh? Elder Scott, I made a mistake. Why did you make that mistake? Did you take your mind off of Jesus? Well, such and such walked by me and started talking to me. Well, you should have said hello and kept right on moving. Right? Keep your mind on Jesus, right? He will keep you in perfect peace as long as you keep your what? Mind on him, right? You won't have cuss words slip out. Huh? You won't have cuss words slip out if you keep your mind on Jesus. Huh? You won't let anger get the best of you when you keep your mind on Jesus. Right? That's the truth, saints. I'm giving you truth. These stuff won't be coming out of you if you keep your mind on Jesus. The reason why it's coming out of you is because you're feeding that Adamic nature. And Adam only represents death. Adam ain't come for you to live. He came for you to die. Adam brought you into the mess that you in. And the only one that can deliver you or bring you out of it is the Lord Jesus. Huh? That's the truth. All right. Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any what? Two-edged sword. Huh? Piercing, even dividing asunder of soul. See, the Lord knows what's driving you. Lord knows what's driving you. Lord knows what kind of gas you got in your tank. Huh? That's true. Lord knows what's driving you. Lord knows what's motivating you. Huh? That's why you got to let it be real. You got to get rid of that phony stuff and let this be real. Because the Lord knows really what's operating on the inside of you. He said, my word is so sharp, it separates soul from spirit. Huh? And the joints from the marrow, right? It is a discerner. Y'all see that? A discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why you can't get mad at Jesus. The Lord knows you better than anybody knows you, right? Only thing you can do is when you get down there and you pray and you don't get what you want, is ask the Lord to help you. Jesus, you see something in me that I don't see myself. Help me, Jesus, right? He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents, right? Of the heart, right? And look at verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his what? In other words, the Lord knows who you are. Lord pulled the covers off of all of us. Amen. this is why folk don't want to get down in prayer and call on Jesus. Because the Lord going to pull the covers off of you. Going to get down there and you call him with a sincere heart. You're going to see you.
Yep.
You're going to see you. You say, well, Scott, I don't feel like crying. That's why you ain't calling him like you should. Because if you call him like you should, he'll break down them stubborn walls. He'll break you down. But if you cry long enough, he'll turn your sorrow into joy. I'm trying to tell you what the Holy Ghost will do for you. If you get down there and cry to the Lord long enough, he will turn your sorrow into joy. And the devil doesn't want you to get to that point, right? He wants you to stay in a state of misery, right? Devil wants you to sit there crying and whining about what is going on in your life instead of you looking up to Jesus and doing what? Living. Lord told Moses after Moses prayed for deliverance for the people, he told him to put a serpent on that staff and set that staff up. And those that have been bitten, all they got to do is look up at that staff and they can do what? Live. Jesus said in the Gospels, just like Moses lifted up the staff in the wilderness. He said, if I be lifted up. See what the devil don't want you to do in your life? He don't want you to lift up Jesus. He wants you to talk about your problems, your issues, the things that are going on, your concerns. He does not want you to talk about Jesus, right? Because he knows if you lift up Jesus, he'll fix all of that stuff, right? Lord will fix all of that stuff. Fix all of those issues, all those challenges that you're going through. It takes time. But what was your Bible challenge this week? What word was that Bible challenge? Patience. Learning how to do what? Wait. Wait on the Lord and be of what? They weren't being of good courage. They got discouraged, right? So be the opposite of them. Wait on the Lord and be of what? Good courage. And he shall do what? Strengthen. Wait, I say, on who? Stop trying to do that stuff on your own. See, the world will be trying to get you out there and they'll have you all burnt out. Trying to fix something. And you, at the end of the day, you still look at it, you still ain't made a step forward. You was broke when the day started and you still broke. What you do all day? I was out there working hard. I was trying to get this, trying to make things happen, trying to make things happen. Something says told me to do it this way and I went and did it. Did you get it done? No. You just wasted all of your energy. When what you could have been doing is sitting somewhere in prayer. Yeah, the Lord will give you what to do. Y'all don't believe that? The Lord will give you what to do. The Lord will bring people into your life that will bless you. And you'll know it because you'll know it'll be Jesus. It'll be just what you need. It'll be just what you need, how much you need. And you'll know it's Jesus because the Lord just let them, they just come out of nowhere saying, I need you to do something, something, something. Can you help me do something, something? And I'll be able to help you do something. You'll be like, whoa, where'd that come from? It was Jesus. Anyway, and they went to go to, I see, I knew something, something going on. And you be sitting to me talking about something. Yeah, yeah, because you was my good friend. No, 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 no. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus. You got to go somewhere and even say, no, it was the Lord Jesus that gave you the mind to do just this and that. I praise Jesus for doing this. He is the one that made a way out of no way for me. Not you. It was Jesus that did it. Right? Is that true?
Yes, it
is. So we say, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And he shall do what? Strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on who? Not Elder Scudder. Wait, I say, on the Lord, right? Now, if the Lord used me, amen. But give the credit to Jesus, right?
Amen.
Give the credit to Jesus. Give the credit to Jesus. You don't know how the Lord's going to work. But you got to be in a position to hear from Jesus. Remember, he's a discerner of the thoughts. And not just the thoughts, but the intents. He knows why you're crying out. He knows why you're praying. And the Lord wants to see that you're doing this stuff with the right motives, with the right intentions. You don't need the Lord. I don't want the Lord to bless me so I can throw up my blessing in somebody else's face and make them feel less than. That's sometimes people's attitudes. Lord, bless them with something they want to, after they go, when it's you down, they want to throw it up in your face. Huh? That ain't Jesus. That's why I tell you, the devil know how to do stuff just like Jesus do. He's a mocker. The devil tries to mock Jesus. Everything Jesus does, the devil does. But the one thing he can't do is live right. He doesn't operate with a righteous motive, with righteous intentions. It's always ill will to try to make others feel less than, to make people feel like you're looking down on them. Now, you know that that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus doesn't operate like that. Jesus is not going to give me something for me to look at you when you down and say, see, that's what you get anyway. No, I ain't going to do for you. Now, you know who gave it to him. He said, nah, that wasn't the Lord that gave it, that. And if it was the Lord that gave him, they ain't having the right response to it. And if the Lord ain't, if they not honoring Jesus with it, let me stay far away from it. Because that thing that they riding around in and doing is cursed. Huh? Come on! And I don't know when the Lord's going to open up the earth on them. I don't know when the Lord is going to send down the fiery serpents. Huh? You say, where them serpents came from? They didn't come from the devil. Them serpents came from Jesus. He was the author of that judgment. And that's the same way with you and I. We don't want the Lord to send a judgment on us. Huh? No, no. We don't want the Lord to send a judgment on us. That's why we stay in prayer. That's why we stay fasted and prayed up. So that we can see ourselves. Right? And correct it. Yep. That's truth. Jesus, I see the errors of my way. I don't want Nathan to have to keep coming to my, and behind me telling me about myself. That's what David needed. David needed Nathan. Because David didn't have enough sense to see himself. And we don't want to keep going down that path where we always have to have a Nathan coming to tell us everything we're doing wrong. You did it. You ain't that clueless. You did it. You know what you did wrong. Just say, I did this wrong. I was wrong. This wasn't what Jesus gave me my body to do. He didn't give me my lips to say this. He didn't give me my ears to hear this. And he definitely didn't give me my brain to be thinking about this. And I'm wrong. And don't go find another way to go do the wrong some more. Where I told you, go and sin no more. Is that what he told him? And the Lord give you a mind to repent before him. And the Lord clears your conscience of that thing. He's telling you, go and do what? Sin no more. Don't do that wrong thing anymore. Take that thing away from me, Jesus. That thing that caused me to be separated from you, take it away from me. And when he takes it away, go and do what? Sin no more. Right? Remember what the scripture says, neither is not any creature manifest in his sight. But all things are what? Naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Right? Seeing we have this what? Great high priest that is passed in the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, we don't have a high priest that doesn't know what it's like to walk on this earth in the flesh. He was in a fleshly body just like you and I. Every time you have a feeling that is not like Jesus, go to Jesus. Ask him to help you with it. Don't go to people. People can't help you with the stuff. Go to the source. Jesus, you know what I feel like. You know what I'm going through. And ask him for what? Help. Jesus, help me. Right? That's what, read a little bit more. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us, that's you and I, those that have a mind, those that want to enter into the rest. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. That we may obtain what? Y'all see that? Mercy, and not just mercy, but find grace to do what? That's the truth. See what the devil doesn't want you and I to get? He doesn't want us to get the mercy, and he doesn't want us to get the grace to help us. In whose time of need? Mine. The time that I need Jesus. I'm going through this thing. I have been bitten by this serpent, right? If I want to live, I have to come boldly to what? The throne of grace. I have to ask the Lord for what? Mercy. And I have to ask the Lord to do what? Help who? Yeah, that's true. Everybody come and ask you for praying for them, but they got to get to a point in the position where they come before the Lord for themselves. I'm not telling you not to pray for nobody, but at the end of the day, you'll say, I'll pray for you, but you really need to get yourself in a position to come boldly to the throne of grace for who? For yourself. So that you can get the help that who needs? You need. I need, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. Does that make sense, saints? That makes sense. That makes sense. These people were bitten because of their own error. And they lost that privilege of what? Access. Don't forget what I was talking about in the beginning. Don't forget it. You do not want to lose that privilege of having access to Jesus. Huh? To being able to get a prayer through. You're going to have loved ones that are going to come to you. I have no doubt in my mind. They're going to go to the doctor, and the doctor's going to tell them something that they're not ready to hear. And watch them. Watch them. Because they know your lifestyle. They know your behaviors. They know what you do. And they're going to say to you, can you pray for me? Can you ask your church to pray for me? Can you ask your pastor to mention my name in prayer? And you say, well, why are they saying this? When all they got to do is come and do it for themselves. But you say, why are they thinking that way? Because the devil has done what? Huh? And you say, well, Scott, that's not true. Look at what happened to them. Go back over in your bulletin real quick. I want you to see this. Don't forget it in verse number 7. Look at verse number 7 again. What does it say? Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have what? Who should they have gone to? They really should have went to the Lord and cried out to the Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, right? For we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord. You see, now that means they didn't feel they had access. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses did what? So did Moses have access? Moses had access. He didn't lose that privilege. That's all I want you to understand. Just because you're around people that don't have access don't mean you have to lose your access. Was Moses right with them? Yeah. But was Moses bit? Because Moses sanctified himself. He separated himself from them. While they were murmuring, did Moses join in? He said, no. You ain't going to get me to participate in your wrong. The Lord called me to this work, and I'm going to do what Jesus told me to do. Sad thing is, Moses didn't stay sanctified. Moses let the people get to him. He hit that rock when the Lord told him to speak to the rock. It was a self act. It was an act of self. Because the Lord gave him instruction, but the instruction that the Lord gave him wasn't what he wanted to do. He did what he wanted to do. And as a result, the Lord told him, you will not enter into my rest. Isn't that something? How he lost that privilege. He had it, but he let the people do what? Infect him. I'm trying to tell you, saints, don't you let folk infect you. People that you know got bad attitudes and bad mind frames, they come to you with a bunch of junk and garbage. Don't you let them infect your mind. You better turn a deaf ear to that stuff. You know Jesus when you hear it. I say, that ain't Jesus that's talking like that. That don't sound like the Lord. Lord wouldn't have me talking about my brother and my sister. Lord wouldn't have me feeling negative. Especially when you're feeling all good, then somebody come to you with a bunch of foolishness. Mm-mm, that's not Jesus. Call it out for what it is. That's not the Lord. Lest the judgment come on them, and because you're participating with them, you done lost your privilege. You done lost your protection. Oh, because you fooled around with somebody you ain't have no business. Right? That's right. That's right. We trust y'all got something out the word. I ain't going to hold you up no longer. We'll pick this back up on next week. Understand that concept, saints. The privilege.